you. Good morning, everybody. Director Peterson is on his way. He's running a little bit late, so welcome. Thank you for coming. Could we have a roll call, please?
Governor Pat Quinn, Acting Secretary Erica Borgren, Chair Wolf.
Here.
Director Banks.
Here.
Director Darcy.
Here.
Director Dobson.
Here.
Director Gonzalez.
Here.
Director Peterson. Director Reddick.
Here.
Director Sweeney. Director Wisner.
Here.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Good morning. Thank you, everybody, for coming. I'm not notified that there's any requests for public comment, but I just want to make sure there's no one lurking who wants to be heard. No? Okay, thank you very much. So I would like to start with a motion for approval of the regular board minutes and the executive session minutes. They are labeled August 27th. That was an oversight. They should be labeled August 28th. So I just want to make sure we're on the same page. Are there any concerns about those, or may I hear a motion?
Motion approved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much. I think what we'll do is we'll wait just a minute for or we'll wait for Director Peterson's report. If he comes before we are in the middle of something, we'll have him give his report. If not, we'll just pause and have him give his report after we're finished with whatever we're in the middle of when he comes.
That Chair, didn't make any sense. Yes. Executive session minutes from July.
I'm sorry. I thought I had thrown them together and I shouldn't have. July 24th is the executive session minutes. So those are from the month before.
Thank you.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, thank you very much. The only thing I wanted to mention is that Director Wisner, one of our illustrious board members, spoke at the City Club this week, and did an extremely good job. Anybody who wants could get access to a video, I believe, that they're going to put up. So.
Yeah, I haven't watched it.
It was a stellar performance. I believe it's been nominated for something. I don't remember what it was.
Best comedy?
He did a good job. There were a number of people from the tollway, including Christy, who were there, who can attest to its greatness. And Christy is speaking next week?
Yes.
Next week. So we're loading up the City Club and showing them the tollway in all its glory. So I just want to congratulate you. I thought it was extremely good. Thank you. And I don't have anything else, so why don't we just start?
So we can dive into, you know, one of these items. The first item on the agenda under my section is the demolition of the Des Plaines Oasis. For those of you who were at the Finance Committee, I believe you saw this time-lapse video, but we thought we'd take an opportunity to show it to the whole board because we're so impressed with ourselves. But it is really neat, for lack of a better term. It's amazing what can be done, so we'll roll.
So we've got a lot of interest in this particular project that we did, and this little 36-second video shows you exactly how the work was accomplished. We started removing the roof in July, and as the roof was being removed, we had these big glass panels there, 6 by 12 foot. The whole thing was wrapped in this wire mesh so that nothing could fall on the roadway below. They carried all these windows out through the interior of the building. While we did that, you see how traffic is moving continuously throughout this project. We did have temporary lane closures underneath where the window removal work was being performed. And then we started on the major removal of the structure itself, taking out the roof panels and the beams and the columns and the floor panels. And that was actually accomplished through these temporary road closures underneath. 15-minute road closures we allowed. They rehearsed the whole procedure ahead of time. The first beams were removed in 14 minutes, and they progressively got even faster as the work went on. These beams weighed 65,000 tons each. There was 11 over the eastbound lanes and 11 over the westbound lanes. We're working on site restoration right now. Out there, pretty much all the heavy lifting is done. Recycled 100 tons of steel on this project, 4,000 tons of concrete. We are going to wrap this up by the end of the year, and I wanted to thank the contractor, FH Passion, our construction manager, Train System, our corridor construction manager, EMAC, for doing what turned out to be a very efficient, safe, and apparently very speedy project.
So good. Congratulations, Paul, and engineering, because it was a great effort. And each of you at your places should have a brick. This is not for throwing. This is a commemorative brick from the Des Plaines Oasis with a commemorative plate on it. So, you know, this is a big part of our $2.5 billion Jane Addams project. And, you know, from 1959 to 2014, the Des Plaines Oasis was something that people passed under sometimes on a daily basis or stopped at and enjoyed. And it's, I think, worth it for us to pay it the homage that it is owed. So you have a brick that you can prominently display in your home or office, and I'm sure you'll keep for the rest of your lives, because it'll be worth a fortune someday in the future. So thanks again, everybody, and thanks, Paul. I'd like to now introduce Prasad Alavili. I hope I'm not slaughtering the pronunciation of your name, Prasad. And and Wendy Abrams.
I'm actually going to go first.
Okay. So for the past several years, the tollway has been working to educate drivers about state laws that ban the use of handheld electronic devices while driving. You know, as everyone should know, Illinois now prevents the use of handheld phones while driving. You can, though, have them on the speaker or Bluetooth function. So, but we've also been working to provide various trip planning tools to help people get real-time updates about road conditions on their drive. And sometimes these things are perceived to be in conflict with each other because people use their smartphones to get the updates, but they may be driving while they're doing it. So one of the things we have learned from some of the other tollways and partners around the country is that there are new tools available that can help eliminate the concern of actually having to read the updates on your handheld device. So we know that our customers want these tools, and increasingly people are relying on their smartphones, but at the same time we want to keep everybody safe. So we've conducted a request for information and asked the industry to submit ideas which the tollway could pilot that could deliver the kind of information our customers want. We've tentatively selected two companies to pilot with an application that we'll talk more about now, but we also, I think, have big plans in the future for additional mobile and smartphone devices that we wanted to make sure you were aware of and had an opportunity to weigh in on, and maybe there's a need for some higher level thinking around a policy or strategy on mobile or smartphone applications. So, Wendy?
Thank you. Good morning, Cheryl. Good morning, Dr.
Good morning.
As Christy indicated, we're just going to give you an overview of why we think a hands-free, eyes-free mobile app is important to our customers. But before we begin, I just want to give a brief overview of the ways over the past several years we've tried to leverage technology to enhance our communication with customers. So you might recall that in late 2012, the tollway launched our agency's presence on Twitter. This feed basically allows you to get live updates on the status of incidents for each of our four roadways. So as you can see, or maybe you can't read, it'll give you a tweet when a crash occurs, all lanes are open, the left lane is blocked, and so on until the crash or the incident is ultimately cleared from the road. Last year at this time, we had about 5,200 followers, and today we have about 6,800. So it's growing steadily, slowly but steadily. I also want to mention that more recently, we posted the same feed on the tollway website based on the direction, or suggestion rather, of Director Reddick. And so today you can get that information online as well. And we think that this is really providing a valuable service to our customers. And last year, you might recall that we launched the mobile version of the tollway's iPass management website. Basically, this site is a streamlined, simplified version of the site that we have online. Customers can view their account balances and payment history, update their personal information and credit card information. They can add or update a vehicle and license plate information, and they can also activate a new transponder using this site. So far this year, we've had about 470,000 hits to our mobile sites. And I also want to point out that Shauna and her team in Business Systems is currently working to enhance this site to increase the functionality and make it even better. We know that 82% of our iPass customers prefer to manage their accounts online, so this is critically important to our agency. And this next slide, I think Christy gave a lot of this overview, but it's really meant to give you sort of the background on why we think a hands-free, eyes-free mobile app would be valuable to our customers. And you might recall that in 2009, Governor Flynn signed into law a new law that makes it illegal to send or read text messages while driving in Illinois. And then 3 years later, in January 2013, another law took effect that basically bans the use of handheld cell phones while driving. So today, the only way you can use your handheld cell phone is if it is with a speakerphone or headset that uses voice-activated or one-digit dialing. So those are the restrictions today. And interestingly, this next point, earlier this month, we surveyed our customers and we asked them if they were interested in a hands-free traffic app that delivered messages via voice or broadcast messages as an audio file. And 50% of them said yes. And I also think what's interesting and not on this slide is that we asked the same question of our customers back in 2012, 2 years ago, and that number stood at 41%. So we know that there is an increased need and desire for this kind of service, and that it's going to probably, given the recent laws, continue to grow. So now I'm going to hand it over to Prasad, who's going to give you an update on where we are in the process of pursuing this new app.
Thank you, Randy. So this app is about efficient toll roads and also about the safety of our customers, safety of our tollway construction crew, emergency crew, and even state police. So as you know, some of us use, before we start our trip, we check the radio, we listen to radio, right? Watch television, check internet, and try to plan our trip as much as we can. But once you're on the road, driving in the car, there are a couple of options. One is the radio, and second one is your smartphone. So we rely on smartphones, which can be distracting because you look at the phone or you touch the buttons on the phone. When you're listening to the radio, it's a much better option, but the messages you get, the alerts you get, are not just in time. So you will listen to traffic obstructions, construction information, somewhere along the road or some other interstate, but not where you are and what you're approaching at that point in time. So this app combines the best of both worlds. So it's not only a radio audio-based communication and alerting mechanism, but it also provides information and alerts just in time as you are driving and as you are approaching a GPS point on the road. So I have a couple of examples here. Traffic construction sites that we already know about, right? And we can put a message out there based on the GPS point or the location of the incident, and put the message that we want to broadcast to our customers. And as the customers are driving through the road, they get to listen to that message at that point. There are a couple of other examples we can think of, but the usage is obviously unlimited. We can think of ways we can broadcast what we want to broadcast to our customers. For example, last year I think we had about 8 or 10 hits on a bridge because the dump truck, the beds were not brought down, and they hit the bridge, resulted in a lot of cost for us to repair those bridges, somewhere in the millions of dollars. So we think we can alert our customers. I mean, there are preferences to see who is driving a truck versus who is driving a car, and based on those preferences, we think we can broadcast a message at least a mile ahead to say, hey, there's a bridge, low clearance, be careful. And we hope some of that will prevent the driver from going into the bridge. Similarly, there were situations where customers, they go through the toll, but they don't know what the toll costed or what they need to pay if they forgot to pay or if they don't have a transponder in the car. So that's another instance where we can alert them to our 7 days to pay message. We think we can broadcast a message to them as they approach the toll booth. You know, thanks for being a customer. If you forgot to pay, don't panic. You have 7 days to pay, kind of message. So these are some of the, I guess, examples of how we can use this technology to help our customers. Then the next slide. We explored what other turnpikes and tollways are doing regarding this, and Pennsylvania Turnpike, these are the states or tollways that are using this technology right now. Pennsylvania Turnpike, New Jersey, West Virginia, Louisiana, and one in England, out of the country. Basically, well, Pennsylvania Turnpike, we believe, has been using this for more than a year. They have about, right now, 10,000 plus users on Android phones. I don't know what they have on iPhone users, but and we had a brief conversation with them, and they shared their positive experience with us, and they're trying to enhance the application to do more, bigger and better things. It uses something called an open microphone platform that enables those audio messages out from the phone. It's a technology thing, so I would just skip that. And go to where we are right now with this application. In August, we released an RFI and to see who all can provide this sort of application for us. And we got 4 responses, and we did an evaluation with 5 evaluation committee members. And we selected the top 2 companies, and we're trying to do a pilot with both of them. There are 2 phases to this pilot. Phase 1, just Tollway internal employees. We think about 50 employees from Tollway get to test it. And then for 3 months or so, and after that, we release it to probably limited extent, I guess, and we still have to iron those out. But the plan is to have a phase 2 public participation to get their feedback and see what they think. Thank you. Back to me.
So, one of the things that, as we were putting this presentation and update together, we realized, you know, we're dabbling in a lot of parts of this world, but we don't necessarily really have a strategy when it comes to smartphone usage and what, you know, what are we trying to accomplish in these customer interactions or in increasing real-time information delivery and again, all of these ways in which we can make it easier to interact with us using a smartphone or using some kind of mobile technology. So what we would like to do, certainly now, we'd love to hear any feedback from any of you on this concept, which we'll be piloting and I think learning more about what the application would look like on the Illinois Tollway system. But we'd also like to continue the discussion, probably in customer service, to kind of take a step back from all of this and think about what is our strategy. You know, what are the elements of the strategy? Are we thinking about, you know, something that also helps generate any revenue, advertising, using, linked to any of these features, or is it strictly, you know, for customer benefit? We don't necessarily want to have those components, but just taking a step back, because we've been very opportunistic as we found out about innovation or ideas, we're trying to, you know, grab them and implement them and see how they might work and pilot here. But it seems like there's a need for, again, that step back strategy looking forward, since our interactions in this area are only going to grow. I mean, at the Bridge Tunnel and Turnpike Association annual meeting, the discussion was all about the millennials, which I am not one of, unfortunately, but and how reliant they are on these types of technologies, and that's not going away. So, and those are our next generation of customers. So,
I just have a question. When you were talking about the truck, that you anticipate that the system will be able to tell the difference whether you're in a car or a truck, and were you talking about that it would recognize, like the situation that we had in Rosemont where the truck was driving with the raised dump truck?
I think it's a self-select, right?
Right. So the system cannot detect whether you're driving a truck or a car, but however, there are some preferences in the app itself that the user can set before, when they download the app, really. They can set some, you know, some check boxes, really, to say, I drive a truck, I own a transponder, like some other options. Okay. They can check or uncheck. And based on those preferences, we can broadcast messages that are specific to them and not to anyone.
But I think that in Wendy's part of the presentation, she talked about the increase in the amount of customers that we have that become reliant on smartphones and using this technology. And I think, you know, obviously that's been a discussion that we've had in the committee, and I think we're moving in the right direction. With the use of you know, some of the implementation of you know, with the Elgin O'Hare on the way, with, you know, all electronic tolling, you know, one of the things that I'd like to see, and we can talk about this more in the committee, is as you identify, you've gone through a tolling area and you haven't paid it, if the system can recognize once you've stopped, hey, hit here, you can go back and pay, and you've missed these, and click in. I mean, obviously, the more that we can do from that perspective to make it easier on people and easier on us, you know, it's less work for us to chase it down. But, you know.
So, some type of smart tolling apps, basically.
Right.
So, a step beyond just information and how to pay, but actually being able to pay with a smartphone.
It just seems to me like
yeah.
you want to direct them there
yep.
once they've stopped. So that they can
once they've stopped, very good. Very good caveat.
Other questions? Do we know on these tollways that are using it now if they've done outreach to drive people to this app, and if so, whether it's been successful?
I'm not too sure, but we can certainly find out. But they are using this app and collecting feedback from their customers for almost 1 year now. And, I believe they got some mostly positive feedback, but they have some customers, you know, question some other features and ask for enhancements as well. So it's, you know, both positive and negative at the same time. I think there's more positive than that.
Anything else? I just want to make a point of personal privilege, which is that we don't hear from Wendy very often. She's usually behind the scenes, but she works extremely hard and does a fabulous job. Her technical skills and the technical skills of her group, as well as her judgment, are a really important part of our success. Her recognition of the customers and their importance. So, and I know you don't like to be singled out, but I think she's an important member of the team that does a lot of stuff behind the scenes. We finally got her up behind the podium. Congratulations.
Yes, I know. It was a real challenge, let me tell you.
She'll never get up again now. Thank you both very much. So, should we go back to Director Peterson?
Yes, that would be great.
Thank you very much.
My committee report, notes from the Finance Committee. We met last week, September 27th. The committee approved two finance items. The first item is a correction of the workers' comp resolution approved last month. The correction eliminates authorization to reduce prior year reserves. The second item is award collection litigation services, which went to Harris & Harris and Law Enforcement Systems LLC, are recommended for award for an initial term of 5 years in the amount not to exceed $5 million per firm. Fees are earned as a percentage of amounts collected by these firms. Procurement, John Donato gave a presentation on job order contracting. I'm not sure if you gave that again today or not, but I don't think you have, or planning to do it. In the tollway's continuing effort to streamline the procurement process, job order contracting, aka calls it JOC, will be used for service-based facilities-related projects throughout the tollway system. The program consists of two phases. The first phase is selecting a JOC program administrator that is responsible for creating, implementing, and administering the JOC program. The second phase is the selection of the contractors to perform the services that are identified by the tollway. I think John's going to speak a little bit briefly to this when we take it up later, possibly. It's not a presentation. Maybe you may want to answer some questions.
Sure.
In addition to the presentation, procurement presented seven items which were approved by the committee. These items include an award to Gordian Group to perform the JOC administrator services for the tollway's JOC program, an award to Mead to provide field equipment and maintenance of the tollway's intelligent transportation systems technology throughout the tollway system, an amendment increasing the upper limit of the tollway's web-based plan room and on-printing calling services while the tollway conducts an RFP process, a request to exercise the fifth and final renewal of the tollway's automated vehicle locating system services, an award for refurbishing services for aluminum sign blanks and extrusions, an award to provide iPass gift card printing and packaging services, and an award to provide switches parts for the ASCO equipment at the tollway. Engineering presented 12 items for consideration. 11 of these were placed on today's consent agenda. Item 2 will be reviewed by the full board today and voted on. And I believe Paul will give a presentation on item 2 that we were able to do with the committee. Item 1 was a supplement for the additional design services that represent an increased level of work design of an additional retaining wall as well as complete bridge reconstruction. There were two contract renewals for professional engineering services for the tollway general engineering consultant and his traffic engineer. Both contracts will address the needs of 2015 services and this is the last renewal of each of those, I believe. Both contracts are consistent with the 2014 level of effort and will be advertised next year to cover these needs beyond 2015. Two construction change order extra work orders were presented, one extra work order to allow construction of a landscape berm and site screen wall along the south side of the Jane Addams and Hampshire Township. This item will be covered under legal. There's an IGA also included with this. There was one change order, an extra work order, to allow the contractors to provide 75 feet of additional retaining wall and install a conduit to connect the future smart corridor equipment shelter along the Jane Addams tollway. There was one partial release of retainage, and six final releases of retainage were also presented. All completed work has been performed in accordance with the contract requirements and has been accepted. Legal had two items. The first IGA was with the Hampshire Township as part of the I-90 improvements. The township has requested the tollway to include construction of landscaping berm along the south side of I-90 to protect the Hampshire Oaks Estate subdivision for the purposes of providing site screen on 90. The tollway will utilize excess topsoil from other parts of the project to complete the work, and the agreement specifies various responsibilities for each party relative to construction of the berm, as well as ongoing maintenance, which will be shared, or basically the majority will be done by Hampshire Township. Item two was another IGA. It was an addendum to an intergovernmental agreement with the Illinois Community College Board. The tollway previously entered an IGA in 2013 with the Community College Board to establish a development program for small businesses who may seek tollway work. Initially, the programming rolled out in four area community colleges. The addendum provides for an additional annual funding to bring the College of Lake County into this program. The addendum will permit funding for 2 years at $122,000 annually, and the addendum tracks the initial terms of the IGA, which runs until March 2016.
Thanks. It was a good meeting.
It was good.
Covered a lot. Thank you. I should have mentioned when Christy described that this had come from the toll, whatever, bridge, whatever conference that you go to.
IBTTA.
IBTTA. That she does go to those meetings, and in addition
I'm on the board, right?
In addition to her very busy life, and I think it's great that you come back with things like this, and it's extremely helpful. Worth the trip to Austin, maybe.
Yes, well, I think that you do end up learning a lot, which is great. If other people have done it, worked out all the kinks, that's a nice way.
to start.
So, we do have one more presentation, if we can. I'd also like to mention that one of the new items on the board agenda is the collective bargaining agreement with SEIU, so something that I don't think we talked about in great detail at the Finance Committee, but I know we'll discuss in executive session today. I'd like to introduce Jim Wagner, and you've met, are familiar with Jim. Twice a year, he provides a summary of the activities of his office. As you all know, the Inspector General's Office at the Tollway is independent, was independently created through action of the General Assembly, and of course, the governor signed this into law several years ago, that we would have an Office of the Inspector General that was independent from the tollway, but of course, when we work very closely with him in management and often refer cases to them, any issues that we see, you know, we're anxious to work with his office to make sure that any inconsistencies or complaints that arise are dealt with quickly and investigated thoroughly. So, these investigations that I think Jim's about to talk about are, I think, good examples of the type of work that he does and, you know, how important his office has been to, you know, getting to the bottom of issues that we may encounter here at the Illinois Tollway. So, Jim, please go ahead.
Thank you, Christy. Good morning, directors, ladies and gentlemen. As Christy told you, this is our six-month review, and although it goes pardon me, until the end of September, our cutoff date really was the beginning of this week, and so we get some carryover. One of the things I wanted to start out mentioning to you is the fact that we did recently have a new hire for our office, John DeWick, who some of you may in the course of our work come to meet. I'm very happy to have him on board. I think it rounds out our complement of investigators. We now have four on staff, and I'm confident that